For me to be here tonight, it's truly inspiring to see boys, bachrim, the yeshiva that have its bein hazmanim. It could be anywhere, Miami, where it's warm, or home, relaxing. To be here in the Beis Medrash, sitting, steiging, growing, learning, developing, it's tremendous, and for me, it's inspiring. But I'm here to tell you boys, you bachrim, that it's not enough. Rabbi Bacon told me that you guys like musser. So I'm here to tell you guys that it's not enough. And I'll tell you why. The Torah tells us in this week's parsha, Vayishma Yisro Chohe Midyan Chosei Moshe Es Kol Asher Aso Elohim LeMoshe Eli Yisrael Amo. And Yisro, the Chohe Midyan, the Chosei Moshe, heard all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had done for Klal Yisrael. And Rashi, quoting the Medrash, tells us, Mash Shemua Shoma Uba, what was it that Yisro had heard? Kriyas Yamsuf U'Melchemes HaMalek. That he heard the splitting of the sea and the battle that was waged between Klal Yisrael and Amalek. Yet there is another opinion that's discussed, that's brought down in the Gemara, that is perhaps a little less known, and that is that says Rabbi Elazar HaMuda'i that what Klal Yisrael heard was Matan Torah, was the giving of the Torah. Asks Rav Moshe Feinstein, Kriyas Yamsuf and Milchemes Amalek wasn't good enough, it wasn't sufficient enough. Those happened first. Milchemes Amalek, Klal Yisrael was a defeated people. 210 years of backbreaking labor. Finally, they were able to leave Mitzrayim. And they're tired and they're exhausted. And now Milchemes Amalek comes, the Amalekim, and they come and try to destroy Klal Yisrael. And obviously we know that it wasn't simply Klal Yisrael they were trying to destroy. They were trying to destroy HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. Perhaps Yisro would hear this. He would feel sorry for Klal Yisrael, and this would cause him to join Klal Yisrael. But no. And maybe perhaps Kriyas Yamsuf, Vayar Yisrael, as the Ad HaGdol Asher Asah Hashem Mitzrayim, that Klal Yisrael was able to witness the great miracle that had happened at the Yamsuf. And says the Medrash, says Chazal, that the Shivcha, the maidservant, was able to experience and see at the Yamsuf that which Rabbi Yechezkel ben Buzi, the Navi, was not able to appreciate and understand. That wasn't good enough for Yisro. Yisro had to rely, based on the understanding of Elazar HaMuda'i, he had to rely on Matan Torah. Why? So Rav Moshe Feinstein says beautifully by suggesting that perhaps what happened at Kriyas Yamsuf and what happened by Milchemes HaMalek was perhaps through some type of kishuf, some type of witchcraft of some sort. But once Yisro saw the Matan Torah, Kabbalas HaTorah, and perhaps delved into the Torah, now he realized that everything, Giloi, Milso, Lemafreya, he had seen now, everything that would happen at Kriyas Yamsuf, Milchemes HaMalek, was all by the Master, the Creator of the world, of the universe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo uba'atzmo. That's Rav Moshe Feinstein. That's what he suggests. That perhaps we could offer a different insight, a different possibility into why it was that Yisro only came and was Niskayer because of Matan Torah. Who is Yisro? Yisro was the Chohen Midyan. And says the Medrash in the Mechilta, Shelo hiniach avodazara sheba'olam, that Yisro had never not seen an avodazara in the world, Shelo Ovedo saw that he did not serve, ve'achar kach, and only after Niskayer. Says Reb Elia Lopian, Perush, Shohoye bo mida gedola shel bakoshas ho'emes, that Yisro had the mida, the attribute that he sought after truth. Ve'ovod avodozora achas, and he would serve one idol, then go to the next, and go to the next. He perhaps have this moment of satisfaction, this moment that he was able to fulfill his desires of whatever it was he was looking for. And then it was fleeting, it didn't last. And then he went to another Avodah Zarah, and he had some type of satisfaction, and that didn't last. And he went to every single Avodah Zarah in the world, but nothing remained. There were no remnants to anything that he had served. Until finally, he came to Matan Torah. Because when he had heard about Matan Torah, he had seen and he was able to experience that the Torah was different. And I don't mean the learning of Torah. If you look at the Gemara, what got him was Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. Because he realized that the Torah isn't about the pursuit of my taivas and my agendas and what's best for me and what feels good for me. But rather he had seen that there were restrictions, that there were limitations, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Klal Yisrael together, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, tell the people that there are limitations, there are restrictions, that there are do's and don'ts. They can't come and touch the mountain. If they touch the mountain, they're going to be killed. They have to keep my word. And they're holy. They're mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh. And kadosh is someone that's parush. Someone that removes himself, that distances himself. This was music to the ears of Yisro. For his entire life, all he did was satiate his taivas, his goof. And even Milchemes Amalek, which perhaps was no different, it was a fleeting euphoria. Wow, Klal Yisrael was victorious. And Kriyas Yamsuf was a fleeting euphoria of, wow, look what happened. Perhaps in Yisrael's mind, that was no different than all the old Avodah Zarah they had done throughout his entire life. But when he came to Kabbalah HaTorah, Matan Torah, he realized that this is something so much more meaningful. There are restrictions that are finally placed upon me. I can't do whatever I want. It's not about my own agendas, my own desires. But rather, I have to listen to something. And it was scary and it was frightening. And he couldn't touch the mountain. He couldn't be with his wife. For 3 days, he had to wash his clothing. This was something that was eye-opening. And it was exciting. And that is exactly why it was Matan Torah, unlike all of the other great miracles that had caught the attention of Yisro, that caused them to be Nisgayer. There was once a Jew, an observant-looking Jew, that was driving late at night, and he was on Route 17, which perhaps a lot of us are familiar with, and he was getting tired, and he was exhausted, and he decided that for him to drive anymore, he needs a cup of coffee. And he pulls over at a gas station on Route 17. He goes into the shop. He sees a guy behind the counter. And the guy behind the counter sees this clearly observant Jew. And he says to him, Shalom. The Jew, obviously realizing that this is a Jew, granted not observant, but still a Jew, he responds, like any good Jew, Shalom Aleichem. So the Jew behind the counter, an Israeli, turns to the observant Jew and says, don't you know anything about diktuk, about grammar? Aleichem is plural. And it's only me. It's me and you. There's no one else here. What's the Shalom Aleichem? Simply Shalom. So the observant Jew, without blinking an eyelash, turns to the secular Jew and says, no, you have it wrong. Because you're not alone. There are the Malachi Hashareis HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bichvodu Ba'atzmo that's with you. It's Shalom Aleichem, as we say every Friday night. The guy gave him his coffee, and the observant Jew went on his way. A month later, a similar type of event. He was driving late at night, and he was tired, and he pulls over to get another cup of coffee. And it's the same guy at the same store. And the secular Jew sees the observant Jew walking in. And he turns to him, incredulous, and he says, "You've ruined my life. You've ruined me." The observant Jew turns to the secular Jew and says, "What did I do to you? Tell me what I did." He says, "Since our last meeting a month ago, every time I'm about to eat a cheeseburger, I think about the malachim that are in each side of me. I think about the aleichem, the malachi asharis, the celestial angels that are next to me. I think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When I'm about to turn on the television on Shabbos night, I start thinking about these angels and I can't do it. My life is ruined." Yisro wanted that type of life. And clearly everyone here wants that type of life. A life of precious, a life of kedusha, a life of sanctity, a life of growth, of steiging, a life of dveikus b'Hashem, connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Bacharim, there are plenty of people that are not here right now. There are plenty of people in this great yeshiva that are not here right now. Or even when the semester begins, that are not here right now. There are plenty of people on this campus that don't have those feelings of dveikus b'Hashem like you do. And it's not sufficient enough for you to be here. But rather it has to be that you have to go out and you have to tell people about the beauty of Yahadus. And I understand, time is limited. You have classes and you have your chavrusas and perhaps some of you are dating. I can't take upon myself a project. So first of all, it's not a project. It's life. And it could be 5 minutes before Maariv. It could be at lunchtime. Spread yourselves around. Because there are people outside the Beis Medrash that are in our great yeshiva. It's one yeshiva. It's one yeshiva. Not various programs. And they look at you. And perhaps they feel a little intimidated by you. Perhaps he's too stark for me. He's too strong for me. I can't relate to him. And therefore, it's your achrayus, it's your responsibility, each and every person, and tell your chaverim who are not here, it's your responsibility to bring someone in for simply 5 minutes a day, 5 minutes a week, 5 minutes at the lunchroom in the cafeteria. That's all it takes. And I'll bring you a raya for this in this week's parsha. Vayishma Yisro Kohen Moshe is Kol Asher Asoy Elohim LeMoshe Yisrael Amo. And Yisro heard all that had happened. We discussed, he heard Milchemes HaMolech, Kriyas Yamsuf. He heard Matan Torah according to one opinion. And then the Torah, 7-8 Pesukim later, tells us Vayisaper Moshe L'chosno is Kol Asher Asoy Asher L'paro L'mitzrayim. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu coming and telling Yisro all that had happened? We already know already. Vayishma Yisro Kohen Moshe. It's Kol Asher Asa Yisrael. He's Amo. He already knew that it happened. He knew everything. Why is Moshe coming and telling him again? Because it's one thing to hear about it. It's one thing to be on the campus. And it's another thing to go out and tell someone. Vayisaper Moshe L'chosno. And Rashi comes and tells us, Limshoch es libo lekarvo laTorah. Moshe went out to bring him closer to Torah. Yes, he heard about it. Yes, he's on campus. Yes, he knows all about what Yeshiva University has to offer in the Beis Medrash. But it's not good enough. You got to go out. You got to tell him about it. You got to bring him in. And what's the following pasuk? Vayichad Yisrael kol hatova. Yisrael was excited. He was rejoicing at all the good that had happened to Klal Yisrael. And the Medrash Tanchuma tells us, don't read the word Vayichad Yisro, read the word Vayihad Yisro. that after hearing from Moshe Rabbeinu all that had happened to Klal Yisrael, it was Vayihad. He became a Yid. He became a Jew. Yahadus. It's because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't rely on the fact that Yisrael had heard about it. But rather he went out and he told them about it. Didn't leave it to chance. And ultimately that's what got Yisrael. Vayihad. Yahadus. He was Niskayer to Yiddishkeit. In Parshas Vayera, the Torah many times introduces Moshe and Aaron, but sometimes it's Aaron before Moshe Rabbeinu, sometimes it's Moshe before Aaron. And Rashi comes along and tells us, Yesh Mekomo Shemakdim Aaron LeMoshe, that there are places where Aaron is discussed and mentioned before Moshe. V'yesh Mekomos Shemakdim Moshe LaAaron, and there are times that Moshe was said before Aaron. Lomar L'chosh, says Rashi, is Sheshkulin Ke'echad, that they're equal, they're one. And asks all of the Bali Musar, they're equal. Aaron and Moshe are equal. We discuss this. We discuss this together. What does that mean, they're equal? They're not equal. But says the Chassam Sofer that they are equal. Because Aaron HaKohen had the one attribute that could compete with the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that was the attribute of being Makariv LaTorah. Of bringing people closer to Yiddishkeit. Bringing people closer to Yahadus. That could allow all of us to reach the level to be shuckled to Ara, to Moshe Rabbeinu, the great Moshe Rabbeinu. I love telling over the story. I think I've said it over a dozen times, but I have to say it over again to you tonight. And Mirtz Hashem, this will leave a roshah, this will leave an impression in your hearts. Rabbi Willig, I think we also discussed this as well. There was once a Rebbe. It always ends with a Rebbe. There was once a Rebbe. And the Rebbe, after finishing his Kol Nidre Drasha, took his gabai and left the Beis Medrash. And everyone was wondering, where is the Rebbe going? It's Yom Kippur night. It's Kol Nidre. And he took his gabbai didn't understand where he was going, what he was doing. But as any good gabbai of a Rebbe, he just followed the Rebbe. The Rebbe takes him, till finally they come to the house of the tailor, knock on the door, and the 12-year-old girl answers the door. And the Rebbe had heard that she was sick, and she wasn't able to make it to shul. And she was despondent, and she was depressed. And she was down that she wasn't able to be with the rest of the town in shul on Yom Kippur night. And the Rebbe was talking to her and asking her if she got anything new for Yontif, trying to lift the spirits of a broken girl. Till after a few minutes of conversation, the girl's spirits indeed were lifted. And the Rebbe wished her a good Yontif, a refuah shleima, an easy fast, and went on his way. As they were walking, the gabbai finally mustered the courage to turn to his Rebbe and say, Rebbe, it's Yom Kippur night. Couldn't this have waited? So the Rebbe says that there are two types of Jews. There's one Jew that through his tefillos can pierce the heavens. And then there's the other Jew. The Jew that's compassionate, that's kind, that's considerate, that's thinking about the well-being, the welfare, the ruchnius of other Jews. That type of Jew not only pierces the heavens, but his accomplishments and his maisim tovim, they reach the kisei hakavod, the celestial chair of the Almighty. And that's the type of Jews that we have to be. We can't simply be the Jews that are here in the Beis Medrash. Yes, we have to be. Torah, the world is predicated on your Torah. Without your Torah, the world reverts back to Tohu Vavohu. Every word of your Torah has great significance in the world, in the higher worlds, in the Elyonim, the Tachtonim. But so does that person outside his ruchnias or potential as well. And we have to be that Jew that not simply pierces the heavens, but we have to pierce the heavens and allow our Maisim Tovim with our Limud HaTorah to go straight to the Kisei HaKavod of the Almighty. Thank you.